Facebook is redesigning its front page. The news feed, which is what Facebook's roughly 1 billion users, however many of them enjoy it, see when they log onto the site, will be rolling out what's being described as a radical new look over the coming months. These changes are meant to increase user engagement on the site, make it easier to navigate on smartphones, and provide even more highly targeted advertising. But as NPR's Steve Henn explains, big changes can be precarious moments in the life of a social network.
Remember Friendster, the first social network to achieve large-scale success? Founded in 2002, before Facebook or MySpace, Friendster turned down a $30 million buyout offer from Google, back when that kind of money still turned heads. At its peak, it had more than 100 million members. And then, in 2009, it made some changes to its site, and suddenly, Friendster collapsed.
There was a point in which it was really the most important social network.
David Garcia is a researcher at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. He analyzed data from Friendster collected during its death throes and has come to some interesting conclusions about what can make an enormous online network vulnerable. In Friendster's case, it began with a specific trigger.
There was a change in the user interface, plus there was the alternative for Facebook.
Friendster's redesigned site was awkward to use, unfamiliar, and some dedicated users left. With each new defection, the site became less useful to the people who remained behind.
If most of your friends have left the community, you will leave it too.
Every time a friend on your network leaves, the network becomes less valuable. Your calculus changes. Garcia's autopsy here starts with a simple assumption, that when the cost associated with being on a social network begins to outweigh the benefits, you'll leave. And what's true for Friendster in 2009, Garcia says is probably still true for Facebook today. I met Ian Fisher in a coffee shop in Palo Alto. His three-month-old daughter balanced on his chest.
What would cause you to leave a social network? Cancel your account, delete your photos, and abandon it?
I actually did that about 2 years ago. I canceled my Facebook account for about a year. And I did that just because I was reading so many articles about privacy concerns on Facebook. And I was spending so much of my time on there and realizing I was getting essentially nothing out of it that was good for me.
In 2010, changes in Facebook's privacy policies led lots of people, like Fisher, to leave the network. But unlike Friendster, it didn't implode. Turns out the vulnerability of social networks to this kind of mass defection hinges on how people use the network. If most people use it to keep in touch with just one or two friends, when one of those friends leaves, you're more likely to leave too. But if you have 1,000 connections, the network's much more resilient. And in Ian Fisher's case, a few years after he left Facebook, he decided to come back.
Because there were people that I didn't know how to get a hold of, but there were sort of my peripheral acquaintances that I didn't get a chance to connect with quite as much. I'm still trying to decide whether that's worthwhile or not. I'm not totally convinced that it is.
It is for now, maybe just to share pictures of his newborn baby. But researchers say Facebook still needs to be cautious. When you're tweaking a social network, even one as big and successful as Facebook, you don't want to scare off too many people at one time, or you could create a cascading exodus that's difficult to stop. And that may be why Facebook is rolling out its latest update very, very slowly. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.